Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Laffner, and joining this week are Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
I'm Richard Hill-Hudson.
Good evening.
Yeah, you very good, lads?
I'm excellent. Yourself?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a tickly cough, so hopefully you won't hear
I've
too much cough.
I've got a lot, so it's always when you've got a three-day weekend.
Happy days. Just been playing five-a-side, so I'm a bit tired, but otherwise I'm pretty good. Just playing at the City Ground, so yeah.
Oh, cool.
I always get jealous going over to the Etihad because it's so, you know, like, I want to dislike it, but it's really amazing what they've built there. It's, yeah.
Just a shame they can't fill it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Etihad. They always fill the five-a-side pitches, to be fair. They're always booked up. They're hard to get space.
So a few stories have caught my eye this week. Jamie Vardy has revealed who he'd like to play him in the story of his life. Have you got any ideas?
I've seen the article. It's quite funny.
He's in a Richard.
I don't know, Danny Dyer?
He's gone for James Corden.
Right.
He'd need to lose a bit of weight, surely.
Yeah, have you seen James Corden?
For those who don't know, he's best known for his 2010 England World Cup anthem with Dizzy Rascal.
I still remember he did that skit for Comic Relief where he was having a go at the England squad as, like, Smithy,
yeah.
And yet I still believe in you. I believe in every single one of you. Crouchy, when I look at you, everything tells me that you should be rubbish at football. And yet you're brilliant. And you know why?
Because of this.
The robots, yeah? Where's it gone? You've written them right, left, centre, all over the park when that was there. I know what's happened. You've started to fear the robot. You've got to let the robot fear you. I'm talking like Staple, Tray Service, Swivel, Can, Open, Drinkity Drink Drink, yeah? What about some of these? A few turns in there. If you score a hat-trick, pull out the rope. Pull out the rope, yeah? See how you get on.
I quite like James Corden, but there's not really that much of a physical resemblance between the two of them.
No, even if he's a thin James Corden, I can't see Jamie Vardy in him.
Yeah.
Cock, though.
Right,
the thing is, how popular do you think the film would be? Do you think many people would go to the cinema to watch it?
If I heard it, it was good, I'd watch
over
it.
All the times. He's been a twonk. Because if he's meant to be like a likeable hero in a film, he's not really going to be going on about like the times he was racist and such.
Yeah, I said if some ever heard it was good, I might give. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it.
Yeah.
Right, also, Man City women's boss Nick Cushing made it back just in time to see his third baby born. After overseeing his team's Continental Cup final win over Birmingham. His wife Claire apparently went into labour a couple of hours before kickoff, but Cushions decided to be on the sidelines instead.
it was the third kid, though, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would Mrs. Hero have reacted to you, Rich, wanting to go watch the footy instead of...
Yeah, it wouldn't have gone down well.
So, and finally, great news for former Liverpool and West Ham defender Riddberg Song, who's emerged from a coma after suffering a brain aneurysm earlier this week, so he's no longer in a critical condition.
I never knew he'd gone under that. I didn't see any of that about on the news at all.
I've never heard of him, to be honest.
I'd heard of the player, but I don't think it had got much coverage on BBC or anything.
No.
When was he playing, roughly?
Late 90s. He's only 40, so he's...
He's
recently retired.
Yeah, all right. I had an image in my head of like a 70-year-old the way you were. No, that's obviously great news. No one wants to see people in comas, do they? I don't really know what else to say to that. It's good news, I suppose.
Nobody wants to see people in comas. That's possibly the title of the week.
I think that should be our title of the week. Alright, so it's time for our performance of the week. Hero's going to do it this week. Anthony.
Is it not me for that quote?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, none of these were in comas. There was four options. It was Grant, the goalie for Stoke versus Man United. Payet for his wonder goal against Middlesbrough. Romeo versus Leicester. And a bit of a controversial choice, being as it's meant to be player of the week, the entirety of the Spurs team versus Manchester City.
I asked them for one option each, and you gave me eight Spurs players.
I gave you one Spurs player, and just told you that the other people's were wrong, which was
for me. I remember saying Wanyama or Son would have. But yeah, of those four, I think the Spurs team for an excellent performance. It was a great team performance. There were obviously stars, but the whole team was fantastic. I know it's a bit bending the rules, but as a team,
Well, the Twitter public have gone with my decision on this, that shouldn't have been allowed, because they've picked Romeo versus Leicester as the winner with 40%.
In hindsight,
so,
I should have done it.
Justice has prevailed in this situation.
I don't know. Personally, I'd be honest, I didn't see the game. I watched Match of the Day. I'm not sure why he won it. Did either of you see the game to have a more informed...
Yeah, according to Shane, he had a beast of a game. That's all. I fell asleep during Match of the Day this week, unfortunately. So.
Opinion.
It's time for the first round of Son of the Pitch. So, Hero's question master this week.
Yes. So, this week, it's going to be quick-fire back-and-forth quiz. If anybody's ever listened to Radio 1 in the on a Saturday afternoon, I can't think of the name of the guy. It's the guy that basically does X Factor 2 now. The little short guy.
Oh, I don't watch
Edmonton.
That's the one. And he has a game on the radio called Pie Tennis. It's basically, I name a subject, and you two have to go back as quick and quick to each other with an answer.
Yep.
And you can't repeat it. And it has to be like with under 5 seconds before you go on. So as soon as there's a pause or repeat an answer, then the other person's won.
Okay. Is there a time limit?
Right.
There's only a certain amount of answers for each question.
Okay.
So I can't see you actually getting through each one.
So, okay.
Are you both ready for the first one?
Yes.
Category?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Chris can start.
Okay.
Name countries that competed in the FIFA World Cup 2014 finals. Go.
England.
Germany.
Australia.
Italy.
France.
USA.
Holland.
Brazil.
Argentina.
Colombia.
Japan.
Russia.
USA.
USA has been said once before.
Oh. Yes.
So Anthony wins the first round.
Oh.
Yes. Good game, that.
I hate that game.
Well, I was thinking of things that basically it stops us Googling.
Right, so,
you mean some people on this podcast cheat and Google?
I'm not saying that at all.
Mm. Yeah, sounds like
Shane seemed to know a lot about Sam Allardyce's playing career last week. So, considering he's only 23. I'm accusing him of cheating at all.
Corruption involving Sam Allardyce? Never.
Alright, so congratulations, Anthony, for first round. Right, so earlier this week, Arsene Wenger celebrated 20 years at Arsenal, having lifted 3 Premier League titles and 6 FA Cups during his reign. So it's an amazing achievement. Rich, probably only me and you remember him taking over. Do you remember your initial reaction?
I think if it had been, if people had said after 10 years what an amazing achievement it had been, everybody would have been like, what an amazing manager he is, but you compare the first 10 to the latter 10, and there's quite a stark difference, isn't there?
It is.
Yeah. He'd been shocked. Did either of you watch the interview that he did with a few of the former players?
No.
He was really quite candid and open, actually, and sort of saying how shackled he'd been when they moved over to the new stadium, and basically he just had to sell all the decent players and work on a shoestring for so many years. And it was the entire aim was to get that fourth spot every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've done well to sort of come out of that, out the other side. And I think second in the world now to having the best bank balance after United, apparently.
Yeah. I'd say when my first reaction to him was similar to the evening standards. I was like, Arsene who? So I was only 15, I think, when he took over. So this skinny bloke from Japan with a weird name.
Yeah, it was
a Grand
Estate he came from.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing how he's changed football, though, and I think as much as we like to criticise Arsenal, they do play amazing football to watch. When they get it right, they are, you know, the best team in the Premier League to, you know, watch them play, you know, watch them absolutely demolish a lower league side, or, you know, it's just a mental thing. And I think going forward, they could have, you know, the best side in the Premier League. This season they've looked better than, you know, the last few years.
Well, you would see when he first took over, he brought in a new way of being, a professionalism into the club. When you had players like, you know, Adams and Mason were basically drunks when he took over. Well, and then
Arsenal for years beforehand, like you had the George Graham era prior to that, Arsenal were just known as the most boring club in the league. It was always like 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Yeah, it was the library instead of Highbury, wasn't it?
They defended to win. And he completely changed that into making the most attractive attacking team.
And his Invincibles team. Oh, I don't know if there'll be another team like it in the Premier League ever again with that back four.
Well, we thought City would do it this season, but obviously not.
No, that back... That ageing back four he had, I don't know how he got a couple of years out of, was it Dixon, Adams and Winterburn role in the early 30s when he took over. And he still got to learn how to do this whole new way of playing when he'd been stuck with George Graham, Bruce Rioch for the last how many years.
And you've got to look at like how he transformed Henri into such a world-class player as well. You know, when he took him on from Juventus, he was just a winger. And you know, he transformed him into like the best striker in the world for a couple of years. You know, Bergkamp, who'd been a bit of a traveller around Europe at the time, hadn't really sort of lived up to his world-class billing. And what a star he was for Arsenal. Another one's like Pires as well. He was a really good player, I thought, for Arsenal at that sort of peak year. And then, obviously, you've got in the midfield, Vieira. Who is possibly the best central midfielder in the Premier League scene.
I think Arsene Wenger will mainly be remembered, though, for his... I don't know if it's just me speaking biased, but for his rivalry with Alex Ferguson. I think that'll be the biggest... Like, you know, the longest running Premier League rivalry there was, and I think that's what, you know, 10, 20 years down the line, I think that's what people will say when they say Arsene Wenger, who was he?
I think people will always remember that time when he ended up stood on top of the tunnel at United after being sent off.
That was pretty funny.
It was hilarious. And the times where he can't work out how to take his coat off.
Yeah. Oh, did you see Piers Morgan got slammed on Twitter for his tweet about Arsenal's anniversary?
What did he say?
Well, he said he replied to comedian Alec Brooker's hailing of Wenger on his work over the last 20 years, and I think he said, oh, he hasn't done anything for 10 or something like that. I can't remember. But one guy said this. You're a big baby, set your dummy out your mouth. There's another guy who said 15 trophies in 20 years is not a good job, surely. And my favourite is, you're such a virgin.
Did you watch last week? There was the BBC show, the Premier League show, but Piers Morgan was on that. And it was like five or six people connected with Arsenal, one of them being Piers Morgan, having a debate about him, and he was very critical in that as well of Arsene Wenger and had a having a big argument with Ian Wright. It was quite amusing.
No, I'm not seeing that.
I started it off with sort of saying that if it, you know, the first 10 years are better than the second 10 years, but that second 10 years is still better than anything Piers Morgan has ever done in his life. So,
hey, that's not fair. He won Celebrity Apprentice in America.
Who's the host of that?
Hey, that Donald Trump guy. Next president of America, hopefully.
Alright, so away from Arsenal, Swansea reportedly rejected Ryan Giggs' application for a role of manager because he is underwhelming in an he is underwhelming in the interview. He offered it to Bob Bradley. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. Do we think this is a way another snub to the English coaches coming through, or do you think because it's a good appointment?
I think they probably just watched what he's done in the last 2 years while sat on the bench at United.
I think Bob Bradley's a very good appointment. He's done very good with the US. I'm not really sure about his record since. I know he was managing in France and he's had a few other stints, but I remember his stint in the US, and he's a very good manager. And I think in terms of you know, if they're looking at it as well from a worldwide point of view, whether it's getting the appeal of that American manager and bringing in players, I think that's definitely a very good appointment, because for Swansea they need to attract good foreign players and that'll help.
Yeah, he's been managing in Norway for a couple of years, so he's had a good record, and he's been managing in the French second division. He nearly got promoted last season, but
I don't think either of them are particularly would have been either of them would have been amazing choices, but I don't think Swansea have got a huge pool of fish to choose between.
Do you think Michael Bradley will come to Swansea now? I think he'd be a very good player in the Premier League.
I could see them having a try for a few American players. There's a few sort of decent young players coming through.
Yeah.
For the States at the moment.
So that Zardes, who looks quite a talent. He's a young, like, forward winger player who's very, very fast.
Well, there's
he is on FIFA anyway.
There's the very rated player that plays for, that's coming through for Dortmund at the moment, Pulisic. He's American.
Okay, so it's time for the second round on the pitch.
Okay, so this one, this is something that I remember being on an episode of the comedy show The Detectives about 20 years ago.
Birmingham
the names
versus
of them, though, have changed since then, so I've had to go through and list them all in the last couple of days. Starting with Anthony, these are the last names of football clubs in the Premier League and the Football League. Are you ready to start, Anthony?
I think so.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
United.
City.
Villa.
Town.
Athletic.
Albion.
County.
Wednesday.
Forest.
County.
You said county twice.
Not very good at remembering other ones.
You could have had, I'll go through the list on these, Albion, Alexandra. Argyle, Athletic, City, County, Dons, Forest, Hotspur, Orient, Palace, Rangers, Rovers, Stanley, Town, United, Vale, Villa, Wanderers and Wednesday.
Good question. Very good.
Very good.
It's some of them which is so blatantly obvious when you point out the answers, but at the time you can't really.
Yeah, when you're on the spot.
I forgot he said County. So I think it was straight after he said County.
Yeah, there's currently 20. I think we recall on the Detectives programme there was 19 at the time, so I think there's been one. Well, there's obviously been some that have moved in and some have
moved out.
MK
Dons probably didn't exist when this was on telly. So. Right, so no FanDuel this week because of the internationals, but FanDuel have contacted us saying that some of you are signing up using the promo code V2Football as two words, which doesn't count. So to clarify, V2Football is one word. And if you sign up using our promo code GTFootball as one word, they will refund your entry fee if you're not a winner. Okay, so we'll move on to international news. So, FIFA President Infantino wants to expand the World Cup to 48 teams, saying he wants to give more of a chance to more teams. So the idea would be for the best 16 teams to qualify for the group phase automatically. Then 32 other teams would have a playoff, with the winners joining the 16 other teams in the groups.
So would the playoff happen at the venues then?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. At the actual
that would be a bit of a shitter, wouldn't it?
Imagine if it was in Brazil and you travel all the way there.
For like one game and then you're going back home again.
Yeah, but if you're a team, you must have to plan that as if you're going to go into the groups. You'd have to book hotels, book ways to get round.
I think the question would be about the excitement. I mean, look at something like the playoffs in the Football League. They're not fair at all. They're horrible if your team's involved. But, you know, if your team's finishing third and don't win, whatever, it's not fair at all. But it's exciting. And, you know, the playoffs at the moment, to get into the World Cup or the Euros, I mean, no one cares about them. There's no excitement around, you know, the teams which finish second or third in the World Cup qualifying groups playing each other. There's just no one's bothered unless it's a home nation, really. There's no excitement. I think this would make more excitement. It would be harsh if you get to a World Cup, play one game and leave. But I think in terms of that, and also it gets in favour with smaller nations, which is, well, crucial, really, to staying in.
Would the problem be that the smaller nations will park the bus and try to go for penalties against some of them?
Oh, of course they would. But, you know, they try and do that in actual World Cup. I mean, you see teams. We saw teams at the World Cup playing for penalties, playing defensive. And that's just part of the game. It's,
I don't know if I like that format of having a playoff at the World Cup before the group stage starts. Because, like, teams, when you go to the World Cup, you prepare for them, you play against other teams that are sort of similar to the ones that you're going to be facing in the group stage.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be doing your research on those teams before you get there. Like, going to the World Cup and knowing that half of the teams, you know, you don't know who the teams that you're going to be playing in the group are. And I want to get me Panini sticker book and know which teams are going to be putting my stickers in. And, like, increasing it all the way out, and you don't know which ones are going to be in at that certain stage. I prefer just to expand the number of groups if they were going to go down that avenue.
I think it could work if they made it over two legs, but do it in like the September before the World Cup, the end of the season, maybe the summer before, so it would be a bit of excitement. Then maybe.
No, I don't like that either.
Because when he came in, one of his promises was expanded to 40 clubs. We have spoken about that in the past, where we prefer it to be 8 groups of 5 and rather than, was it?
I don't know. I think for me the bottom line is for Infantino to win another FIFA presidency, he needs to appeal to smaller nations. Expanding the World Cup like this benefits small nations and is more likely to win him the next election. I think that's the main. That's my thinking anyway. Maybe I'm a bit more cynical about it in that way. But I'm not totally against it as an idea myself.
I'm not against it, but I'm not a fan of the format proposed. I hate international football when it's like qualifiers and such, like this weekend coming up. But when it comes around to the actual tournaments, that's the best month of my life every year.
Well, the BBC gave an example of what the game could be as, like, England v Iceland. Now, you know, if that happened to us before the World Cup, you know, proper had started, how gutting would that be?
Well, if we have to play any game at the actual venue, that's generally where we fall down into.
Yeah.
You know, at whatever stage it is at, it's once we actually start playing on a pitch at a venue.
If we're not in the top 16 teams of the World Cup, then we're doing something really wrong to have to go into a playoff.
If we could just play qualifiers all the way up until the final, we'd do all right.
We should be okay, yeah, to be fair, actually. We should be in the top 16 in the world. I think we currently are. We're just about in that.
It's not always the top 16 in the FIFA rankings. Top 16 have qualified for the tournament, so we'll definitely be in the top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's just one quick one. Jersey are appealing to the cause of arbitration for sports after their bid to join FIFA was turned down. Jersey submitted a bid to leave the English FA and join FIFA in December 15, following the acceptance of Gibraltar, who are also not an independent nation. So, Jersey are a crown dependent of Great Britain. So what do you think of non-independent nations wanting to play international football?
I think it's a bit disappointing in the qualifier. I think every country's got the right to a team, but I do think we need to do something about those teams in qualifying for tournaments, you know, such as, you know, you got Gibraltar, you got teams like San Marino, Andorra, etc., who just aren't ever good.
Technically an independent nation, are they?
No. I don't have a problem with that, but the quality of the side is what I'm saying. You've got some very poor nations in the qualifying for European tournament, well, for Euros and World Cups, and that, I think that's part of the problem with qualifying, why it's so boring. And I think maybe if you could have a pre-qualifying for teams like that, that would help. I think, I don't have a problem with those teams existing, but there needs to be some sort of, you know,
like
something like that.
Qualifying rounds.
Yeah, I'd favour that, like some sort of, pre-qualifying where you have to, do that to get in. The problem is, if anyone who was president of UEFA or FIFA suggested it, they'd never win an election for the reasons I mentioned before.
Yeah, so I did do a bit of research on Jersey, and they have three players playing in the Football League.
Wouldn't they have, more players with some jersey, like Gibraltar, for example? They have some players who...
Yeah, I'm sure Graham
is
sorry,
really,
his kids will probably... So they have
there'll be loads of players that aren't good enough for England that suddenly will have been to Jersey on the holidays once.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
They have Curtis
Guthrie. Matt Letizia, his manager.
Yeah, he's Jersey.
Oh, is he?
You get Graham Lasso, he's the famous one from Jersey. They have Curtis Guthrie, who plays for Colchester. They have Brett Pittman, who plays for Ipswich.
Oh, yeah, he's not a bad player.
And they have Peter Vincentini, plays for Rochdale. They're the three I could find in the research. So they
still probably beat England, though, wouldn't they?
They wouldn't be pulling up any trees if they did qualify or get accepted. But, again, I don't have a huge problem with them wanting to join in, but it seems like a bit of a waste of time. I think it's going to get battered every time. So how are you going to
bring back Bergerac?
Right, so it's time for the final. Have some of the pitch.
80s detective bit there for people.
Right, it's time for the final.
Okay, last round.
I will do better this time.
Yes, you've got to try and remember not to say one that you've already said.
I'm trying to do things.
That's a bit of a help for you. Okay, last round. Chris, to start again, you've already lost, so this is just for pride.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is winners of the top flight of English football, so either the Premier League or before that, the Football League.
Okay.
Go.
Man United.
City.
Liverpool.
Arsenal.
Spurs.
Chelsea.
Leicester.
Nottingham Forest.
Blackburn.
Derby County.
Everton.
Newcastle.
Oh, no.
Time up. You could have had Arsenal, Aston Villa, Blackburn, Burnley, Chelsea, Derby, Everton. Good shout with Derby. Huddersfield, Ipswich, Leeds, Leicester, Liverpool, City, United, Newcastle United, Nottingham Forest, Portsmouth, Preston North End, Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, Sunderland, Tottenham, West Brom and Wolves.
Just name a team in the Football League.
No, I got lucky because I knew Derby and Forest had both won it. So.
Yeah, both very good teams in the 70s.
Yeah, so congratulations, whitewash.
I like this new game.
Right, so in the wake of
beat the Googler Shane as well next week.
I wanted to have a quick mention of, on the England front.
Yeah.
About something that came out, I think, at the weekend. BBC have only just picked up on it on the website, but they mentioned it on the programme on the Saturday lunchtime on the TV. Iceland players, before they played England, were told by their manager that they were facing the most overrated national team, I think, in recent years.
Yeah.
Said, in recent years, we are playing against the most overrated national team side. Looking back, it is true. There was always so much pressure for them to do well to major championships, and they haven't for a long time.
Good team talk.
Does anybody disagree on that?
We haven't done well at a tournament since 96.
Yeah, that's what was said. And you look at nations like Germany, that when they had a bad World Cup, was it back in 2006 they had one, or was it 2002 that they had a bad World Cup?
2002, they reached the final, lost to Brazil.
Right, so was it the one after that?
2006.
They reached the semi-final, lost to Italy.
They had one that was a bad one.
No, I remember, because Grosso scored the winner for Italy in extra time.
Well, that's probably a bad one for Germany.
And I was on a train, and I remember the train conductor telling us that Brazil had beaten Germany in the final in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Germany... They went through then straight away a process of sorting themselves out. And England, after every World Cup, they have about 3 weeks of, oh, we need to sort ourselves out, and just end up in the same mire 4 years in the future again.
Yeah.
We're never going to fix it, are we?
That's just what we were talking about last week. I think we've got somebody younger in and gave them like a 10-year plan to be able to get all the age groups playing the same way. Again, as Shane keeps saying, tell the clubs we need this type of player. If they want to play for England, this is how they have to play.
Well, not just tell the clubs how to do it, but tell kids how to be doing that at the age of 5 and 6.
Mm.
Start them off straight away as they're getting into football, and just invest in kids. The amount of money that's going into the Premier League now, and then you look at the percentages that are going towards the grassroots, and the percentages are going down every year, yet the money going in to the Premier League is going up.
I think you're thinking about Euro 2004. They went out in the group stages.
There we go. Okay.
They drew 2 and lost 1. They were in a hard group. They had Czech Republic and the Netherlands and Germany. Oh, yep, carry on.
But for Germany to go out in any group stage is just unheard of. For England, it's part of the course now.
I try not to, but I still get excited a couple of weeks beforehand thinking we could do it. I was really excited this tournament. I thought we were going to at least make the semis.
I don't think at any point during the tournament I got a semi over England.
Right, so in the wake of Big Sam leaving England, we thought on the website that we'll nominate the worst England managers ever, and would ask our Twitter followers who to vote for as their worst. So, who did you go for, Richard?
I went for good old turnip head himself, Graham. I cannot believe it, Taylor. Mainly. Well, he was an idiot as an England manager, pretty clueless. But the unforgivable thing of subbing off Gary Lineker when he was one goal behind the current record of Bobby Charlton's 49 goals for England.
Yeah.
And he never played again. for the country. I think there was other managers that perhaps should have been in the poll as well, but just due to the age of us and Twitter, the likes of Don Revy didn't get in there.
I think Don Revy, I was thinking about Don Revy, but it wasn't really for football reasons, I don't think, was it? He got sacked. It was, wasn't that a corruption thing as well?
Yeah. Never leaves us, does it?
All right, so I went for Kevin Keegan because he has the lowest win percentage. He lost to Germany in the last Wembley game. And
he was, like, even when he was at Newcastle, he was pretty tactically clueless.
Yeah.
You know, in his time at Newcastle, he just bought strikers. It's like, we're struggling, what should we do? Buy another striker.
Oh, the brilliant centre-back pairings of Philippe Albert and Barry Venice. Right. We've lost Anthony, but he nominated Steve McLaren for his failure to get to the Euro 2008. And then we threw in Big Sam for giggles. So the winner, with 51%, was Steve McLaren. Second place was Sam Allardyce. Graham Taylor got third, 12%, and then Kevin Keegan came fourth with 8%.
Yes, pretty much most have been pretty abysmal, though, haven't they? You know, you look back over the years.
The ones who did decent all left for non-football. Like, Terry Venables did decent too. I can't remember. Was that another corruption thing? I don't remember what that was.
I can't recall what Venables... I think Venables left on quite a high, didn't he?
Yeah, but it wasn't for football reasons. It was something... I can't remember what it was. And then Hoddle
told things about the disabled, wasn't
Yeah, his guru was... He went all weird, didn't he? And they got a guru in and...
Yeah. Well, as an actual talented manager, he was probably one of the best ones we had. It was just a shame he went batshit crazy.
Yeah.
I think as a football pundit, he's very good.
There was lots of... Lots of calls,
I don't really remember him as a manager, but he seems to talk a lot of sense as a pundit.
I think the ones that are probably the most disappointed for me were the ones like Capello and Ericsson, where they had decent sides,
yeah,
but didn't sort of live up to it. You know, once, perhaps since then, the quality of the England side's not been as good.
I think Capello was sort of... I remember, because I was really excited when he came in, because at the time, I think he was seen as one of the best managers in the world. I was really excited. I just think the problem is with the England squad is they needed to be treated with, like, kid gloves. They needed to be loved more than he was prepared to give, because he wasn't... You know, he was a disciplinarian and he was the wrong type of manager. He's a fantastic manager, don't get me wrong. He's maybe less so now after what he's done with Russia, but he was such a good manager and it was a bit disappointing. I agree with you.
Right, so we'll finish it there. So check out our website, v2football.com, so where you find our other shows. So what's happening at the 72 show this week?
We were joined by Coventry fan Matty Roper. So there's a lot of off-field issues going on at Coventry, which he talks about. We discussed that. Tony Mowbray, the manager, he's resigned because he doesn't feel he can do a lot. So yeah, that was our main focus. We then, our debate this week, we debated the fit and proper persons test. Is that good enough for owners, and is there anything we could do to make ownership of Football League clubs better?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just general Football League chat, really. Good show this week, well worth a listen. Yeah. I would say that even if it wasn't worth listening, so don't trust me.
Right, we didn't have a V2 Academy this week, but next week we've got former Man United trainee and current Mental Health Football UK ambassador, Alan Tong, on. He's on to talk about mental health issues within footballers. What happens when your career's cut short through injury? What support the players can get and stuff. So it should be a really interesting show. So also check out the Ash and Hell Premier League podcast, which is hilarious.
It is.
And also follow us on.
I'm this weekend going to go and meet one of the Sky Sports Friday Night presenters.
Ooh. Which one?
Rachel Riley.
Ooh.
Why are you meeting her?
Well, I'm sort of meeting her. I'm going to be in the audience for 8 out of 10 cats this weekend.
Oh, are you?
8 out of 10 cats to count
them. It's Salford.
All right. Cool.
So you're not meeting her, you're just going to be in the audience. If you do meet her, you could ask her to do that.
Well, the audience is really quite close.
Yeah.
On that program, so I'm classifying it as meeting her. It's if it's sort of within possible, run onto the stage and grab her.
Is that your plan?
If anyone's listening who's part of it, no, not at all.
Will you be creepier than Joe Wilkinson is on it?
Quite possibly.
Maybe you could be our assistant for the numbers.
That would be good, yes.
Oh, it's 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown's one of my favourite shows at the moment. Are they recording their new series, or is this just like a live tour thing?
Yeah.
Great. Alright, so also follow us on Twitter, V2Football, and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Good night!